Blog Talk Radio. devil's trying to step on my show today, but that's all right. We're back again. I am your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, and we're back. Hopefully, I'm calling from the computer, so I gotta connect. But I was saying that many people today are walking in defeatism, or they're walking with a joyless faith. They're walking around with their heads down, and this Christian life is more than that. This Christian life is a time we should be the most joyful people on the planet, A, because we have redemption. We are no longer enemies of the cross of Christ, but we are children of the cross of Christ. We are no longer children of wrath, but children of righteousness, and God has called us to live this life, live a victorious life, and to live a joyful life. So I want to remind us of who God says we are and what God says we are. Only the believer can have this personal relationship. Only the believer can have this born-again experience. If you do not have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have not been born again, then you will not understand this concept until you lay yourself at the foot of the cross, confess your sins, confess yourself as a sinner before a holy God, and ask God to come in and change you and make you a new creation. And the process, justification is instantaneous, but the sanctification is a process. And each and every one of us must go through that growing process. God is not going to give you a gang of wisdom in the beginning. He's going to feed you like you would feed a newborn babe. You can only have Gerbers right now. But the point is that God wants to feed you. He wants to feed you, and he wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. Amen? So I want us to be reminded today of what this joyful relationship, this union is supposed to be like, and how we as Christians should be, because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we should be contagious. We should be contagious people. We should be infecting a culture out here, a lost and dying world, because of what? Because we have Jesus Christ. The world is dying right before us, but guess what? Christ has came to give us life and life more abundantly, and we need to stop listening to the devil and stop listening to the flesh and stop listening to this world. We need to be listening to the Word of God. We need to be reading our Bibles and applying our Bibles. It's just like if you was going to go to school to be a doctor and you get all this information, it has no effect on you if you're not going to apply it. You might have passed your medical exams and all of that, but if you're not practicing medicine, you just got a bunch of information. And information without application means you have no dedication. Amen? So let's pray, and we're going to get into today's lesson. We're still talking, part four of having joy in trying times. Or I should say, applying the principles of joy in trying times. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be here today, Lord God. I come to you, Lord God, as your humble servant. I come before your people, Lord God. Those who might hear, I pray, Lord God, that they not just listen to, they not hear my voice, but they hear the Spirit of God ministering to them, Lord. May we realize, Lord God, that the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to get inside of us into the depths of our soul, Lord. And it cuts going in and cuts coming out. Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you would touch souls today, Lord. That you may touch those who may be downtrodden and beaten down by the cares of this world and the riches of deceitfulness, and that they may know that they are children of the Most High God because they have a personal relationship with you. Lord, may they start applying the truth. May we all start applying truths on a daily basis, that we may be joyful, that our joy may be overflowing, and that others may be contaminated by the joy of the Lord. We praise you, we bless you, we love you, Lord God. May I decrease, may you increase, may your spirit have this way this day in Jesus' name. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. I want to remind you, hey, check us out. If you're being blessed by this ministry, if you listened to us before, even if you don't catch it live, you can catch it on the archives, 400 sermons on the internet. You can spread the word and invite others and tell them about, hey, this crazy guy named Minister Big Ken. Hey, you can share the word with them that if you're being blessed, maybe somebody else will be blessed. I'm not the only person on here doing this. There's others out here, but if you're finding my voice is tolerable and you enjoy it, then please share the love and express your love, express that to someone else who might be able to be blessed by it, because I'm about souls, friends. I'm about souls. I'm about helping people come to the knowledge of truth that they may be saved. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about this joyless relationship that a lot of people are experiencing and what it means to have a victorious, or I guess you could say, when you apply these principles of joy. One thing we must realize, though, and this is very important, anytime that you're deciding, you're striving to do something for the kingdom of God, anything that you're trying to do, I'm talking about from a heart of compassion and sincerity for the kingdom of God, Satan is opposed to everything that you're trying to do. So sometimes, because he's opposed to it, he brings forth oppression upon you. And that's okay. He brung oppression upon Jesus Christ. In the wilderness, he came at him with lies. And Jesus gave him the word. That's where our stand is. I hear so many Christians, and they say it out of ignorance, because nowhere in scriptures does God call us to go to war with Satan in our flesh. Nowhere in scripture does he call us to bind him and rebuke him, but he tells us to resist him, to resist the devil, and he will flee. That's the commandment that he gives us, resist the devil. The only way you and I can resist the devil is in the word. Binding and rebuking Satan, he has reign to go to and fro in this earth. Have you not read the book of Job? He has the opportunity to go to and fro. The only thing he cannot do to you without permission is come at you to take you out. He cannot kill you. He can't steal your salvation if you have one. If you have genuine biblical salvation, he can't steal that. He can do a lot of things to oppress us, but he cannot possess us, because that is not the Holy Spirit, and an unclean spirit cannot dwell in the same vessel. God does not share of our temples with Satan, with seducing spirits. Amen? So we need to realize what our enemy is doing to try to keep us joyless so we can have joy, because God wants his people to have joy. I told you, Galatians chapter 5, he tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and you know the rest of them. But we have to apply, that we have to walk in the Spirit. We must exercise what we are. Because as Christians, it is an oxymoron to walk in the flesh as a habit of life. We do it, but that is not our stanza. That is not who we are. Sometimes we think wrong and we walk wrong. But the Christian should always be walking in victory, and the only way we can walk in victory is to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to turn to Galatians chapter 5 right quick, because it's important, just for the sake of clarity, because we want to make sure that the Bible speaks over what I say. I don't want to just throw out scripture and do God's word injustice. In the beginning of chapter 5, he tells us walk by the Spirit. He says, in verse 1, it was for freedom for Christ set us free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now, Paul was reminding these Galatians about the law. The law was perfect in the sense that it was given by God. But we were imperfect or incapable of fulfilling the law or satisfying the law or doing what the law required us to do. It was impossible for us as human beings to meet the standard. That's why Christ came. Because of Christ and our relationship with Christ, he has fulfilled the law, and we walk in the Spirit of the law. That's why we walk in the Spirit, so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, because we have a conscience. Our conscience is awakened now. We have the ability to understand and rationalize and say, no, that's not pleasing to God. Now, we don't just say that's not good. We say, no, that's not pleasing to God. because God is the standard. Christ is the standard. He is holy, so we should be holy. So verse 2, he says, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Remember the old Jewish law. It required males to be circumcised on the eighth day. That was a Jewish custom. That was a part of the law. That was what God required of all of Jewish males and anyone that would convert over to Judaism. That was a form of sanctification. When the male was circumcised, he was basically, that procedure was a procedure that said to them, I am set apart for God. Now we have been circumcised by the Spirit. We have been circumcised by the Spirit. Because he tells us down here in chapter 5, verse 16, but I say, Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Friends, the number one problem we can't have victory or this joy that we're looking for is because we don't want to walk in the Spirit. If you try walking in the flesh, friends, your flesh is going to disappear. And I don't care what you try to feed it. You can feed it lust, sex, porn, liquor, gambling, whatever you're trying to feed it apart from God's saving grace and apart from the Spirit of God, you're going to still be empty and you're going to still be miserable and you're going to still be looking for something, looking for, A, love in all the wrong places, i.e. lust in all the wrong places. See, this joy cannot be given by the way of the flesh. Or you can have a lot of things that make you joyful or happy according to the world standards, but this is a joy that comes from above. This is a joy that if you were being persecuted for his name's sake, for righteousness, you would still be counted it all joy. This is a joy that, oh, I lost my job. My wife left me. My husband left me. My kids left me. Everybody gone crazy. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But guess what? You still count it all joy. Why? Because you know who you are in Christ. I ain't saying it's going to be feeling good. I ain't saying it's going to be comfortable. I'm not saying you're going to want to hear the Bible verse then. But when you pull yourself together and realize who you are in Christ, you can stand up. You can stand up and say, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I'm a child of God. And he said he would never leave me or forsake me. Amen. He says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, that you may not do the things that you please. See, too many of us are trying to do things that we please, that please us, that make us happy, feel good. I posted today about, you know, ladies understanding their worth and their value. So many women are looking for love in all the wrong places, and they settle for bozos instead of Boazes. They want busters instead of men of integrity, men of godly character. And God has a plan. He has someone for you when you set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. When you walk in the Spirit, you can be assured that God is able. He's able to quench the desires of the lust, or he's able to suppress the lust, and the Spirit of God will take over and resurrect you and give you joy and give you contentment and give you the peace that you desire. He tells us again, let's jump down to verse 19, he says, now the deeds of the flesh are what? Evident, which are immorality. Immorality. You know what immorality is. Anytime that you desire to seek after things that are outside of God's moral compass, his law, moral law. See, I think sometimes we think, well, I'm not under the law no more. Well, guess what? God's moral laws haven't changed. They still apply today. God hates adultery. He hates fornication. He hates pornography, which is where we get the root word for the Greek word of porneia, which is where we get the word fornication, or pornography, I should say. God is not. He covered his bases. He said the marriage bed is undefiled, but adulterers and fornicators, I will judge. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. He tells us here, he says, we're talking about the fruits right here. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22 of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, remember I told you yesterday that the fruit, even though he names many different fruits, but the singular in the sense of that one encompasses the rest. All of them come with new birth, new relationship with Jesus Christ. When you and I gave up our old life for this new life, because according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, the new has come. Part of the new is you should be loving, full of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Remember, the law was fulfilled in Christ. He is our Sabbath rest, too. So many people trying to keep Sabbath days. No, all days is a Sabbath. If you're in Jesus Christ, all days are part of the Sabbath rest. You can be assured that God is faithful to keep us. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Why I'm recording? No, this. But our God is awesome. Our God is holy. Our God is righteous. I want us to go back. Let's go back because I want us to look at this. What does when Satan attack your mind, gets you to think opposite of what God says you are? God already told us who we are. He already told us who we are and what we are. We are ambassadors of Christ. He tells us, James says in James 4:7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, first, there's an imperative, submit. We don't like that word in Christendom today. Most of us we don't want it in our marriages, we don't want it in our household, we don't want it on our jobs, we don't want it nowhere. We do not want the word submit, because the word submit means we're going to have to serve somebody or bow down. And a lot of us don't want that because we want the kind of God that we tell him what to do. He's our bellhop. That's not the biblical Christianity. That's not the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what God teaches. God tells us to resist. He says, first, we have to submit ourselves to God. That's salvation. If you want to come to Christ, you must submit yourself to God, to a holy God. If you want to be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you must serve Jesus Christ. You must be ready to die. Pick up your cross and follow him. Amen? I want to read this. It says, so also have sorrow. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Don't you understand that Satan is a joy stealer? He's a dream stealer. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal my joy. He's trying to take our peace. Do you realize that our God has already given us victory over anything or any attack that Satan could come or launch up against us? He's already given us victory. Our God has also given us everything that we need. I read this yesterday in Ephesians chapter 1. Everything that we need which pertains to life and godliness. So the issue is not, I don't feel like this. No, your feelings are subjective. You need to be objective. You need to have objective thinking in a biblical age. You need to have a biblical worldview about who God is and what God says about himself and his people. We all need to have a biblical worldview. Otherwise, we'll still be lost or still be on Gerber's when God wants us to be elevated to steak and potatoes. It's a shame for any Christian to be in the church for 10, 15, 20 years and still don't know what sanctification is. They don't know what justification is. They don't know what glorification is. They don't know the basics of the faith. But you know everything about empire, you know everything about scandal, you know everything about Grey's Anatomy. But we don't know about Jesus. If God gave us 24 hours a day, in a day, he gave us time to find out who he is and what he wants us to do. Continue on. He says, no one will take your joy from you because your joy comes from being with Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus means that you will never die. You will never be cut off from him. You cannot lose what God has given you because God is the one who instituted salvation for you. And he's not an Indian giver. Now, this is what I'm not saying. I'm not saying there's not no fake professing believers out there, make believers, spies who come in. They want salvation they want the benefits of salvation, but they don't want to live holy. I'm not talking about those. I'm not talking about counterfeit Christians or the ones that Satan is sending to the church that say, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. That's what your mouth is moving and saying, but that's not what your walk is saying. Our walk must line up with our talk. Who we are in Jesus Christ is part of our new DNA. Because if we are new creations, then we should be speaking like new creations. We should lay off the old man. That's what Jesus, I believe it's in Galatians 3. He says, take off the old man. Take off those things. Take off that old filthy garment of sin and immorality and lust and greed and covetousness and lasciviousness. I thought we was talking about joy. We are talking about joy. See, the only way you can have joy is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes with the new birth. He says, you see, two things have to be true if your joy is never to be taken from you. One is that the source of your joy lasts forever, and the other is that you last forever. If either you or the source of your joy is mortal, your joy will be taken from you. You got to remember, this joy is supernatural. It's spiritual. And since we are spiritual beings now, because we are new creations, guess what? We don't have to worry about dying. Yes, we're going to leave this planet, but we're going to a new heaven, we're going to spend eternity with our God forever in new bodies. You know what he said? He says, if either you or the source of your joy is mortal, in other words, if Jesus is mortal, then you might as well throw in the towel. He was a liar, and he's not Lord. He was a lunatic. He wasn't Lord. Friends, we need to get this in our spirit. We need to get this in our spirit that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Spirit and in truth. God wants something. He wants so much for us. He has so much for us. He has everything that we need which pertains to life and godliness. He's given us everything we need. If you don't understand that, then you can't help anybody else understand it. If you're not passionate about your relationship with Jesus Christ, at some point throughout the week, when you are so full of God and God has you, he won't let you shut up. It's somebody that we need to be telling this story to, our testimony to. If it's a testimony, we can tell. We need to be encouraging others. We need to be lifting up other people. We need to be stimulating one another to love and good works. That's part of the Christian life. That's part of what joy is. See, because when I'm doing what God calls me to do, I experience so much more joy. When I'm walking with God in peace, when I'm meditating on him, when I'm singing praises to him, I have the joy of the Lord. When God is constantly, you know, chastening me, he does that because he loves me. A good father will always discipline his child. He says, and oh, how many people have settled for just that, eat, drink, and be merry. They say, for tomorrow we die, and that's that. Who doesn't last forever? And I don't last forever. So let's make the most of it while we can. What a tragedy. So many people. They're smoking blunts, listening to worldly music, and we don't realize how sensitive and how real you put that garbage in your spirit, how it affects you. It's not giving you joy. It's giving you a false sense of hope. Calling women bees and hoes and all kinds of other derogatory. Look how sensitive this country has become. Look how reprobate this country has come. We used to frown upon language like that. Now we say it in songs. Now we say it on the phone. We call each other names. Women are calling each other B's. Hey, B. When did we get so far away from God? When we lost our joy. We kicked our joy out of society. We told him, we don't need you. We have humanism. We have secularism. We have all these different isms. We don't need God because we're smarter than God. Matter of fact, we made God in our own image. And that's where our joy went. Because how's that working out for you? Dr. Phil can't help you. Oprah can't help you. She needs Jesus. See, this is real. You know why it's real? Because when you're walking with God and nobody else is walking with you and you really have a relationship with him, you know who you are then. You know who you are and know what you are. Because, see, the whole world can abandon you. Family members will abandon you. Don't get it twisted. Members on your job will abandon you. See, when we get real with God, when we truly take a stand and say, I am going to follow Jesus Christ, we just painted a bullseye on us, and guess what? Satan coming hard and heavy. He's coming hard and heavy. We need to remember our enemy is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. This reason, the Son of God appeared. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, and he did. Satan was defeated on the cross, but guess what? A lot of us haven't got the memo yet. A lot of us think it's something else that Jesus Christ got to do before he come back. A lot of us think that we still missing something, and God has already told us, my friend. He's told you. He's giving you everything that you need. He's giving you 66 love letters, the Bible, the basic instruction book before leaving earth. All you got to do is apply it, read it, study it, meditate on it. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, let me know your word. Lord, let me know your ways. Lord, let me experience your joy. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. So many people walking around, woe is me. I just can't seem to get it together. Oh, I'll be glad when the Lord come back. Friends, that's defeatism. That's defeatism. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are part of his family, part of his kingdom. Stop listening to the devil and take action against him with the word. Remember, James 4:7 again says, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Do we believe that, or is it just a word we just throwing out there? 1 Peter 5:8-9, he says, be sober-minded. See, these are things, practical things we need to do so we can have the joy. Because, see, when we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to have all of the principles of that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. All these things come with it. But when we're grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit, we cannot have victory. Therefore, we cannot have joy. God is not going to let you have no joy when you're grieving and walking in your flesh and walking in your mess and decide you don't want to play, you don't want to be obedient to God. God says, I won't talk to you. Till you get it right, I won't talk to you. So you come back and get, when you go and repent and come back, then I'll talk to you. You want to go and play in your sin. And see, some people don't realize that sin can cause you death on the spot. Oh, I got to read this while it's in my spirit. What time? We got about 25 minutes. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Very, very powerful lesson here. Of what not to do. Don't lie to God. Don't try to manipulate God. Don't try to play games with God, because you could find yourself on death row immediately. Death row immediately. He says, Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself, with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, here's a husband and wife duo. They had some property They sold the property. It was their property. The money was for them to do whatever they wanted to do. Now, this was the early church time. A lot of people had sold property, and they took the proceeds, and they gave it to the apostles. The apostles divided that money up to the poor, and nobody was lacking. Well, these two came in and decided they're going to run some okey-doke. Instead of just saying, hey, here's our portion. Now, they came and said, we sold it for this money. It wasn't the fact that it was theirs and they sold it. It was the fact that they said they sold it for X amount of dollars. So they lied to God. They lied to God about what they sold it for. It would have been just better off saying, hey, we sold it for X amount of dollars, and here's my portion. It was no required amount. It was not one time do you hear in this text that there's God is talking to them or Peter or anybody is talking to them about they didn't give their tithes. Tithing wasn't an issue here. This is a heart issue. This is a lion issue. This is a moral issue. And God don't like liars. He says, and kept back some of the price for himself and his wife, full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? See, they sold it specifically for a reason, but they weren't honest about it. They weren't honest about what they sold it for. They weren't honest about using the money for God's kingdom. He tells them, he says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Whoa. He said, you didn't lie to man. You didn't lie to man. You lied to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last breath. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. And the young men arose and covered him up. And after carrying him out, they buried him. Jesus. Do you see this? Don't tell me God, God is holy. Do you understand God is holy? And when they lied to a holy God put them on their face, put them on their back. In fact, he took them home. I don't know if Ananias and Sapphira was believers. The word of God clearly tells us that they lied to the Holy Spirit. And Satan had filled them. Because remember back here, he says, but Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart? Don't sound like much of a believer. Might have been teeter-tottering. They weren't either hot or cold. It was lukewarm. I guess we'll find out when we get to glory. But I don't want you to miss the other part. The other part of that is the wife was in on this too. She was running a conspiracy. She was conspiring with him. Verse 6, and the young men rose and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now, there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours. Now, the wife is sitting out there saying, man, where's my husband at? Ananias, y'all see that Ananias? Where's he at? Ananias. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Verse 8, and Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. So she boasted. God, see, this is when it's not good to say, oh, I got my husband's back or I got my wife's back when it comes to lying. I know somebody might do some time. But guess what? You both can end up doing time. You both can end up doing some time for Jesus, in the jail with Jesus, because you decide to cut corners. He tells him, he says, this woman said, yeah, I sold it for this much. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, such and such a price. Yes, that was a price. And Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well. My Lord, don't play with God. You didn't learn nothing else today. Learn this. Don't play with God. If you haven't heard anything else I said, do not quench and grieve the living God. Do not upset God with your lies. Don't manipulate God. Don't try to play God. He's the greatest chess master in the world. And guess what? You will serve him. You will bow down to him. You might not spend eternity with him, though. You might spend eternity separated, but you will give him honor and praise. You're going to do that. Let's go back here. We got about 20 minutes back over here. Talking about this joy. And we're talking about the contrast of how when you're not walking in the Spirit, or when we're not applying the principles that God has given us, this is what can happen. I want us to go over the definition of joy, just for those that didn't hear the other day. It says, joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. It is something or someone that provides a source of happiness. It appears 88 times in the Old Testament in 22 books, 57 times in the New Testament in 18 books. Webster Dictionary definition, to experience great pleasure or delight, rejoice, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. The word delight is a Hebrew, in the Hebrew dictionary, it means simcha. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I can't pronounce these words, but I think we get the gist of what joy is supposed to bring to each and every one of us as believers. But it will only do that if we apply the word of God, if we apply the scriptures daily in our life, in our Bible reading, and to share what we have with others. Because, see, iron sharpens iron. See, you want to talk to other believers so they can sharpen your sword. Because the more you grow, the more y'all grow. It's nothing as good. I mean, a great experience is to go to your job and you got believers there that's going to pull your coattail and give you a loving rebuke when you need to have one. Oh, we don't like that. We don't nobody telling us nothing. But our God says, hey, I chasten those I love. So God will use people to chasten us. He will use people to chasten us. If we don't want to walk in obedience and then walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we want, because one of the fruits that could be lacking is self-control. When our flesh is a mess, and we decide we don't want to do what God called us to do. It says Christians should always find reason to be joyful. Therefore, there are many ways to define joy. Joy isn't just a smile or a laugh. Joy is something that is deep within and doesn't leave quickly. When we have the joy of the Lord, we know it all, and so will others. Since joy is given by God, it's something that he wants us to have, we need to be joyful. In addition to being joyful, we should let others have their joy and not bring them down when they are excited about good things. The only thing worse than not having joy is stealing someone else's. And that is so true, friends. I've been guilty of that. Each and every one of us are to be encouragers. Each and every one of us are to be those who will lift up others that they may know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. So important for us to do that, take those principles and continue to build up others, one another. Build up others and one another. You see here that so many people are lacking the very thing that God says he has given to each and every one of us, because he's given us his Holy Spirit. So we have the opportunity to be an example, and we should be billboards of God's joy. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to always be sounding off. It doesn't mean you'll always be telling people what God says. But we need to be billboards We need to be sounding out. We need to be telling the world of this great joy and this relationship that we have, if our relationship is genuine. If it's genuine. It says, spending eternity in heaven. Let me go back a little bit. Joy is the second fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Reading scriptures will bring us joy. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. That's in 1 John 1:4. We will also see where the Bible gives us specific times to be joyful. We should be joyful on Sunday mornings. We should be joyful that we go to work. We should be joyful going to church. We should be joyful in many different things that's going on in our lives. There should be some consistency of joyfulness. He says, reading scriptures will bring us joy. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This book right here, friends, is spiritual. It's spiritual. And God wants us to know him through his word. The problem is that too many people are watching Empire, and Mary Jane, and Scandal, and Grey's Anatomy. For some people, you mention their favorite TV show, and it's like they just light up. They get so much joy out of that. How is it that you can get that kind of joy out of a TV program with a bunch of folks doing God knows whatever? We need to be displaying this joy and putting God on display so that others may be attached and attracted. Give me a couple minutes. We're going to close up here. It says, spending eternity in heaven with God, the saints and the angels, is something incredible. Ask for joy. If we can't find reasons to be joyful, our perspective must change. Do you hear that? As a Christian, if you don't have a reason to be joyful, your perspective needs to change. Your thinking needs to change. Your attitude needs to change. Your walk needs to change. Because, see, you can't manufacture this type of joy unless you have a relationship with the one who gives joy. Till we truly embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord, Master, and Ruler, we won't understand what this joy looks like. We will not understand what this joy looks like. He says, God lets us have blessings every day. We should be able to see them and thank God for them. Additionally, we should ask for God's blessing. Some think they should be blessed with joy automatically. God's word says, God lets us have blessings every day. We should be able to see them and thank God for them. Additionally, we should ask God for the blessing. Some think they should be blessed with joy automatically. But God's word says, you have not because you ask not. John 15:16. Remember I told you, even though it's part of our DNA, we have to activate the joy just like our faith should be stimulated. I believe in teaching God's word and evangelizing and talking to people about this relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and having a new birth experience. We had to ask God in. We had to ask him to save us. We had to recognize we was a sinner, and that he would open our eyes. We need to be the most joyful people on the planet. The last verse here, he says, God, Holy Spirit produces joy. Joy is a product of Christ's likeness. When we seek God through his word and prayer, we will receive joy. Thank God that joy is something he wants us to have. If you don't remember nothing today, you need to remember that part of your DNA, part of your new life, your new birth experience is to experience the joy of the Lord. Experience the joy of the Lord. That's an imperative. God wants you and I to experience the joy of the Lord. But we will only experience that as we apply the word of God and we ask him, Lord, I want to experience this joy. Lord, I want to have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I need to know you and the power of your resurrection. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this sweet time and fellowship in your word, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that many are listening on the archives, that they may know you and the power of your resurrection. I ask, Lord God, that you would just continue. I ask, Lord, that you continue to just be with the saints today, through this weekend. I pray, Lord God, that you would raise us up in the morning, Lord, that we would come back for the two-hour program and finish up our topic on joy and a little bit of an application according to your word, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you get all the glory of today's broadcast, and may the joy of the Lord go out to all your people. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you. We say amen, amen, and amen. All right. We had a call in earlier, but I guess they left. But I want to thank everybody who might be listening on Blog Talk Radio, on the internet, Facebook, and they're using the tools that God has given us, where we can be able to listen to the word of God. I pray that this was edifying. I pray that it was eye-opening. I pray, Lord, that you got something out of it, that you received this as the word of God, and that you can trust in it and know that God has got you, that he is faithful to complete all things. He who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to just remind you, you can catch me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Daryl Kendrick on Facebook. You can also catch me by phone at 713-538-4936. If you have any questions, if I don't have the answer, I promise you I'll look the answer and I'll find the answer. But I don't claim to have all the answers in my mind. I'm a growing man. I'm still growing in the Word. But I know that he has grown me so far. And he who began a good work in me is faithful. Amen. So I just want to encourage you with that. Also, like I said, we might disagree on some of the secondary issues of how a person should be baptized, water baptism or immersion. All those things have their place, but nothing we should divide over. Some things just not worth a debate or argument about. We need to know. There's souls out here that are dying, and they need the love of Jesus Christ. They need to be able to touch Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for coming out and just supporting me. And please, if you have any friends, you can invite to listen on the air, listen to the archives. Please share. Please encourage them to come out. Please encourage them to listen to some of the other series, that it may open their eyes. And I know some people, they don't... They're going through some things and they're discouraged and they don't have that joy. But I know that's not the masses of God's people. There are people over there in third world countries right now being, sad. I hate to say it, but they're being raped and tortured. But they still have faith in God. They still know Jesus Christ. We know that our God is faithful. He who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to cut it off. I just want to thank each and every one of you for listening in today. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow for live broadcast, a two-hour program on continuing in our lesson on joy. And I want to just encourage you as we close out that God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He is not finished with none of us yet. And we are significant. We're not insignificant. We're significant. We have a place. Because our God is, he values all of us. He values all of us because he uses us for his glory. He uses us for, and we get the growth out of it. Amen. We get the glory out of it. So I want to just encourage you. I want you to just continue to just, stay in your word. Stay in your word. Stay in your word. All right. All right. We're going to close out with a song. And may the Lord have his way with you as we close out. Just something to meditate on. Something to meditate on. you, Lord, in my